And I'm thankful for that. You pray for your country. But today is called Civic Sunday. So what does that mean? This is the day that we encourage you, if you are not registered to vote. All right. Good? Give me a little here. Microphone hooked up to my tie. That's the one I want. There we go. Today is Civic Sunday. So Civic Sunday is the day that we encourage you to vote. I'm not telling you who to vote for. I can tell you who not to vote for, but I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. Not allowed to do that, right? This is God's house. But I feel like if you read your Bible, and there are certain things that God loves and that He doesn't love, and that will help you in your voting. And say, what's the big deal? I'm just one voice. You are an important voice. And if everybody said, oh, I'm just one voice, we'd have a lot of voices. So if you are not registered to vote, tomorrow go to the, where do you go? Post office? Do they have those there? Can we get those, Mr. Buck? Do you know? Mr. Parrott, do you know? Go online. I think a lot of that stuff is online. They have this thing called the internet. And it is incredibly... I don't know. I'll leave that next line blank. But it can be helpful. And so I encourage you to register to vote. And I appreciate Brother DeMeo, his love for the Lord, his love for his country. And he encourages me to remind you of these things. I was supposed to tell you this morning. I forgot. And here we are. So Civic Sunday, I'm registered to vote. We have a policy at our house. We vote early and often, and we do it. And we vote in primaries, we vote in town supervisor meetings and national things, and I encourage you to do that. So it is your right, and it is your responsibility as an American. John chapter 12 tonight. Many of you are wondering, is Joe sleeping on the job tonight again? There's no water. No, he asked me and I said I didn't want water. Just so you don't blame Joe. John chapter 12 and verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus... Listen to this next phrase. Let's get to John chapter 12, verse 1. Not a lot of people can say this. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead. Whom he raised from the dead. How awesome is that? You think Lazarus would have been a spectacle? Absolutely. Not a lot of guys walking around that were dead. And now he is very undead. He's very much alive. Verse 2. There they came, made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. So here we have our typical Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Martha's what? Busy about with much serving. Where do we see Lazarus? Lazarus is sitting at the table, fellowshipping with the Lord. And where do we see Mary? We got two sisters and a brother. And Mary, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard. The Bible says these two words, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. God, thank you for this passage, and Lord, thank you for what it represents, and thank you. Lord, I'm thankful for some people that just didn't talk about loving you, but actually did it. God, as we examine this passage, Lord, help us to not just talk about serving you, but doing it. Lord, we love you. We mean that. And Lord, forgive us for how many times we fail in there, how unfaithful we are to you. But Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love and kindness towards us. Lord, I pray that those that have needs here tonight, that you'd meet them, that you'd use this word to encourage them and help them and maybe even challenge them and correct wrongful thinking and wrongful actions. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, it says, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. We're going to talk about three characters here tonight in our passage. Not Martha, not Lazarus even. We're going to talk about Mary. Oh, Mary. The Bible says in verse 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard. I looked up what spikenard was. Anybody? It says it was very costly. It's ointment. What makes one ointment more costly than another ointment? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Spikenard is from a flower grown in one particular region in the world. There's an area between India and China, and we know that as Nepal. And right through the middle of Nepal are the mountains of the Himalayas. And there, deep in there, is this special flower, very fragrant, but quite difficult to get to, if you can imagine having to climb the Himalayan mountains to get this flower. And out of that, they make spikenard. Mary, I'm not sure why. It doesn't tell us what she was originally planning to do with it, whether she knew the whole time she was going to anoint the head and the feet of Jesus, or she was saving it for maybe her wedding. Who knows? But the Bible says that she has this pound of ointment, a pound of spikenard. And the Bible says it is very costly. The Bible says that she anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. That's probably one smell that will not smell. Say why? Because it is so difficult to get spikenard. Tonight's message is a simple message. We have three quick points. But I want to remind you that actions speak louder than words. What we have here is Mary, and although she maybe has verbally confessed her worship and adoration for Christ Himself, the Lord, here she puts action to her words. And in our lives, how often do we confess our love and our worship and our adoration for Christ, but all too often, that is as far as it goes. There is no sacrifice. Look at verse 7. The Bible says this. Then said Jesus, we'll continue the passage. In verse 4, then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot. We know about Judas. We don't know much about Judas other than that we know it doesn't go well. And sent one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? 300 pence would be the equivalent of a year's worth of wages. So imagine thinking about how much you make in a year. Take that amount and go buy 1 pound of anything. That's how very costly that was. He says, why didn't we sell that and give to the poor? This he said, look at verse 6. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a, what's it say? He was a thief and had the bag and bear what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. And verse 8, for the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. She sacrificed before it was too late. She sacrificed before it was too late. Mary Her actions spoke louder than her words. Mary sacrificed, and she did it before he was gone. You know, all too often the devil uses procrastination. Teenagers use procrastination. Your report is due in 2 weeks. That means I have 2 weeks to do nothing. And the night before, one small pot of coffee and Wikipedia and Google, and I should be able to get it done. And that habit transfers over to our own life. When God says, I desire that you would serve me, okay, I'll serve you because I love you, but I'm going to do it later. See, Mary worshiped at the opportunity. She didn't know if she would see him again. How many of you had an opportunity to go pass by and you all wish you could go back just for a moment? Maybe it was a business decision. Maybe it was a relationship. Oh, I wish I could. I wish I wouldn't have. Mary said, I'm not going to live with regret. Hey, Christian, wouldn't it be great to not live with regret? Wouldn't it be good to just serve God full force all the time, to that our actions would match our words? As we sing the songs of Zion and confess our love to the Lord Jesus Christ, wouldn't it be something that if we too had the spikenard, something so very costly? I don't think I own anything like that. The most valuable thing I have is me. I can't give him spikenard, but I can give him my life. God hears me. Hears me before it's too late. And look at what he does. I love this. The Bible says, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped her feet with it. You know what she had to do? In Mark chapter 14, it says that she had to break that thing open. Look there, Mark chapter 14. Would you serve Jesus before it's too late? Would your actions match your word? Look at Mark chapter 14, verse 3. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, we have the exact same setting. As he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard. The Bible says not only very costly, but it also refers to it as very precious. And the Bible says this, and she broke the box. So often we see our brokenness before Christ as a weakness. And may I say that it is an opportunity to worship Him. As our brokenness in our own humanity, as we stand before God and say, I don't know what you can do with this, but I break myself out before you. The Bible says, according to Mary, that was worship and love in action. It wasn't her just talking about her love for the Lord. It was her actually serving and loving Him. A lot of our love for the Lord and our worship is simply in word only. To which I ask, where is your box of spikenard? Where is the broken box? Where is the ointment upon the head and feet of Christ? Mary sacrificed. She gave before he died. She gave it all when she broke the box. It wasn't like she could keep back a little bit of it. Oh, I love the illustration though. Man, when you pour out a blessing upon God and sacrificially give to the Lord and just give Him what you have, you see what it said there? She used her hair to wipe His feet. You know what? You can't get away from the blessings. A little bit of that just rubbed off on her. And you know what? Everywhere she went, you know what she carried? The sweet smell of that ointment. Have you been with Jesus? Because the savor, the smell is so similar. Hey, when you walk around and you give your life to the Lord, you understand that that's going to rub off on you a little bit. You're not going to be able to get away from the blessings of that. You're going to carry some of that with you. Some of that's going to catch on you. That's not why we do it, but God just blesses us that way. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Hold your hand in John chapter 12. We'll come back. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. If you turned your hand in John chapter 12, it's okay. It'll be easy to find again. How's everybody doing tonight? Good? First Sunday night service, here we are. I mean, last week we had Sunday night service, but we had people walking across, roses and diplomas, and man, we're so excited for our graduates. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, look at verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. What grace? I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others. Listen now, and approve the sincerity of your love. No one questions the love of Mary for her Savior. Why not? Because of what she said? No. Because of what she did. Because actions speak much louder than words. Mary sacrificed. Mary worshiped. And her sincere love for the Lord was proved by what she did. Heard it often. I remember this illustration growing up as a teenager, and it was asked of us in teens, if you were brought before a high court, would there be enough evidence in your life to prove what you say? Would you be found guilty of a follower of Christ? No one questions Mary. If we read right here, and Judas loved the Lord, or he announced his love for the Lord, we would say, I don't think so. Why not? Because of what he did. Which brings us to our second point. Actions speak louder than words. Number one, Mary sacrificed. Number two, Judas criticized. He tried to make it look like he had actual care for those that were in need. But did he? No, he did not. He was a critic. He is what you would call a liar and a thief. Say, those are strong words. The Bible says, because he was a thief, in John chapter 12 and verse 6. I don't think it's too wrong to call people that steal thieves. Now, I understand the society in which we live. No, that's offensive. You can't call criminals criminals. That's going to hurt their feelings. No, we call good guys criminals. Quickly moving on. Judas criticized. He lived a life that was a lie as a thief. Maybe, Brother Parrott, maybe you can help us with this. Do you think Jesus was omniscient, meaning he knew everything? Being all God, what do you think? Correct. For the most part, yes. Do you think he knew about Judas? Do you think he knew he was a thief? We're very careful with who we ask to help in our financial team. Why is that? Hey, this guy's reformed. He's just out of prison. I think the Lord got a hold of his heart, I think. He would like to serve in the financial team. Well, what was it? Grand larceny. I'm glad you're here, and I hope the Lord does a great work, but we are not putting you in charge of money. Why did Jesus put Judas in charge of money? I asked that question to myself as I read this passage. Why would you put the thief in charge of the money? Put the thief in charge of the food. Put the thief in charge of the sandals. Put the thief in charge of keeping care of the transcripts. Or keep the thief in charge of but keep them away from the money. Judas had one job, hold the money. So why? My assessment is, from what I read in Matthew, they didn't need money. It was just proving who he was. Hey, we don't have money. Go over there, take that fish, open it up. There's a coin inside. Use it and pay them. He didn't need Judas. He had fish swimming in the sea carrying his... That's his pocket change. He didn't need Judas. It just simply revealed who he was. It just gave him an opportunity to do what he did. What was he? He was a liar and a thief. He was a critic. And yet he walked around with Christ, confessing his love for the Lord. But what did he do? He loved the ointment even more than the poor. It says this in verse 6, then he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag, he asked in verse 5, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence? Don't you know the value? Hey, don't you know the value of a person, Judas? Yeah, but do you know how much you could get for that? He loved the money more than the poor. How about this now? Listen. He loved the money more than he loved Christ. How do you not, when you're around Jesus and he's calling out people for what they're thinking, how do you not shudder all of a sudden? Maybe the first time he's like, whoa, I didn't know he had that ability to know what they're thinking and feeling. How does he not go, this is not good because I've done wrong things? Yet he still walked around. How about at the end where he says, the next person that dips the sop in here, and then Judas dips it in, and Peter's like, is it I? Are you kidding? The guy's hand is still in the thing. He just said, the guy that does this, and the guy does it, and Peter's like, is it me? John, is it me? They didn't believe Judas. I bet they were just as surprised when he walked into that garden that day and put a kiss on his cheek. Why? Because his words. But Jesus knew his actions. Oh, you may make it look the part, and you may say the right things at the wrong time, but I want to remind you, with Christ, we have a woman here that although she confessed her love for the Lord, what she did was far louder than any word she said. We have a man, although he confessed the Lord Jesus Christ, what he did revealed about him. The Lord has an ability, listen now, the Lord has an ability to hear our hearts, no matter what we're saying. He knows our intentions. And you're not tricking anybody when your words and your actions don't match. Much like Judas. That he cared not for the poor, it says. Our third person in the passage is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Number one, Mary sacrificed. Judas criticized. And Jesus justified. Look at verse 7. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Let her alone. Leave her alone. Protected her. Turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to look at three more verses and then we'll be done. Hebrews chapter 4. Look at verse 15. Look at this now. Hebrews 4:15, I pray that this verse be an encouragement to you. The Bible says this, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are." You know what that means? Hey, if you're feeling any, I know some of our families here tonight are heavy-hearted over things, and you think, nobody understands. Nobody knows what I'm going through. Nobody knows what I'm feeling. The Lord Jesus Christ knows exactly what you're feeling. The Bible says that He in all points, yet without sin. Christ lived a perfect life without sin. Or, listen now, Jesus Christ had no debt to pay. He didn't run up a sin account that he had to figure out how to make right with the holy, gracious Father like you and me. He never told the lie. He never dishonored his parents. He never dipped into the bag a little bit. He never looked at somebody the wrong way. He never had indignation unjustly in his heart. Not one time. He had no debt. We try and encourage our young people as they are moving on in their life to really limit the amount of debt that they have in their life. How have you started life with no debt? Good. Isn't that a blessing? That was a blessing. How have you started life with a little bit of debt? Whew, that's tough. Took some time to get out of that. Jesus Christ. No, listen. No sin debt. Anybody start life with no sin debt? No, I was born by nature a sinner. Thanks to my father Adam, passed it down. Sinful nature. Didn't have to be taught how to sin. Just knew it. Just did it naturally. Yet Jesus Christ, yet without sin. Go over to Romans chapter 3. Follow this thought, please. Romans chapter 3, tried to make a point in your head, Jesus Christ, without sin, without debt. Yet, he found himself paying the sin debt. Why is that? Well, for you and me. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation," that's a big word for payment, "through faith in his blood." See, he had no debt to pay. He had no account to pay. He had no sin debt to clear up with the Father. Yet he shed his blood for my sins. Justified me. For the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness. Do you understand? I don't stand before God in my righteousness. I have no righteousness. The only righteousness that I have is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that when I get to heaven, he's going to say, "Tell me about the righteousness." I say, "My righteousness is filthy rags, but the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed that and given me his righteousness." Isn't that a blessing? To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Look at the next phrase. Where is boasting then? A man that lived a sinful life was tempted in every point. I know the sin which does easily beset me, but Pastor Seaman has a different one, and Nathan has a different one, and Uncle Bud has a different one, and everybody has something different going on in their life, and Jesus can say, "I understand all of it, And yet he went through all the tests of the flesh and came out clean, yet he still found himself paying for my sin. And I'm going to stand up and say, hey, look at how great I am. There's no boasting in me. Therefore, we conclude that a man is, look at now, verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. It is Christ that makes us clean. Mary sacrificed, Judas criticized. And God told me that he loved me. But he didn't just tell me. No. He showed me. The perfect Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth to justify me of my sin. John chapter 15. It'd be one thing, you know, if the Lord says, hey, I love you, God cannot lie. So therefore, I need to believe and know that God loves me. But you know what's even something? When he shows me. John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. It'd be one thing if we stopped at that verse, but look at verse 14. He says, ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. He laid down his life for his friends, and then he calls me his friend. Jesus justified me. Jesus justified you. Not by what he said, but by what he did. Mary took this very costly ointment, and although she had confessed her love for the Lord Jesus Christ, when she broke that box, poured it upon his head, and used her hair to wipe his feet, a year's worth of income spent in a moment. Why'd she do it? She just wanted to prove that she loved him. Judas! No, we should have sold that so we could give to the poor. Liar! Thief! Yeah, Jesus doesn't call him out. God says, I love you. And he comes down and he pays a debt he did not earn willingly. I want to remind us tonight that actions speak louder than words. Don't just talk about serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Serve him with gladness. Don't just talk about loving the Lord. Love him like Mary, sincerely. Don't just talk about giving your life to him, but give it sacrificially. Do something. Don't just talk about it. Let's all stand. The last 3 months, no matter where we went, we've been asked to wear a mask. So I know this, that we're not wearing them here tonight. Can I ask you this sincere question? How long have you been wearing the mask? How many years have you been saying the right things, but in your heart, Maybe tonight we can, as the song says, be a little bit like Mary for a while. Maybe you just want to come and thank the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life without sin or debt to pay, and yet he chose to pay my sin debt just to show us how much he loved us. Heavenly Father, I pray that our actions towards you would speak much louder than what we say. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, give us strength. Lord, I love you. I pray that things that I do proves that. Lord, bless this time of invitation now. In Jesus' name, amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here tonight?